Heavenly Father, you have spoken to us in your word by your Spirit just now, and we ask that your Spirit will continue to be at work in our hearts and minds. Give us hearts that are ready to believe, to trust what you have said to us, and to live with the confidence and the conviction that comes from that trust. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you live with uncertainty about the future? That's hardly a theoretical question right now, is it? Over the past few days and weeks, I've lost track of the number of conversations I've had where we're trying to make plans for the future, but we end up having to say, well, maybe. Maybe we'll do this, but who knows? Things are changing so fast, aren't they? Who knows what the next 48 hours, what the next week will look like? For all of us, plans are being cancelled, expectations are constantly changing, and it's unsettling, right? It's unsettling, this uncertainty about the future. Normally, I think we can cope with a certain degree of uncertainty in our lives because we have certain anchor points that kind of keep us somewhat steady in the wind and the waves of life. Things like, well, at least I've got a stable job, or at least my finances are under control, or at least my health is okay, or at least I have friends and family around me, or at least I live in a country where I can rely on the fact that things tend to happen in a somewhat predictable and orderly way. These are anchor points that we hold on to in life. But what happens when those anchor points give way? For some of us, we cope with these kinds of uncertainties by trying to control what we can, even if it's irrational. The world is falling apart out there, but at least I can control this. At least I have a year's supply of toilet paper in my house. It makes me feel in control, even if I'm not. And at times like this, I think we tend to narrow the scope of our concerns, don't we? So things like our daily needs, like food, that we used to think of as a given and we worry about other things, now those daily needs kind of move more to the top of the list and to the forefront of our minds. In our home, our prayer before dinner each day has become very simple. Thank you for the food that you have given us today. Please provide the food that we need for tomorrow. We kind of narrow the scope of our concerns. But today, I want us to broaden our minds, or perhaps to lift our vision, you could say, to see that there is a kind of certainty, that there is an anchor point that is far more secure and significant than any of those other anchor points that we might be trying to hold on to or that might be concerning us at the moment. The job, our health. And this anchor point gives us a certainty that is so significant that it then becomes a firm and secure foundation that gives us confidence, even in the uncertainty of the things that are happening around us at the moment. And these words from Hebrews 6 help us to see what that is. And the first thing that we see in this passage is that God's promise is certain. God's promise is certain. If there's one person who was no stranger to uncertainty, it was Abraham. God promised that he would give to Abraham, among other things, many descendants. And those words in verses 13 and 14 point us to that. Let me read from verse 13. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. Abraham lived in a culture where family and descendants and homeland were particularly those anchor points for security and stability. But God had told Abraham to leave all that behind and to go childless and barren and old to some unknown land far away. And all he had to go with, all he had to hold on to, all he had to rely on was a promise from God. Can you imagine how unsettling that must have been? God had made a great promise to Abraham, which included that he would have many descendants, but all of that was now hanging from a single thread, a child, or the lack of a child. For this old and barren couple, Abraham and Sarah, God's promise relied on them having a child. You can't have descendants if you don't just have just one child. And humanly speaking, the chances of Abraham and Sarah having a child, well, it was next to zero. That was the uncertainty that they were living with. They'd left behind every other anchor point that they might otherwise have held on to for security. And all they had to hold on to instead was a promise from God. But God delivered. Against all odds and after many decades of waiting, God gave them a son, Isaac. And the point that this is making for us is simple. God's promise is secure because it is impossible for God to lie. That's the point that it's making from verses 16 to 18. In fact, it says it's doubly impossible because not only has God made a promise, he has sealed that promise with an oath. Let me read verses 16 and 17 now. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. An oath is like a promise that is legally binding. The idea of an oath is that you make it to someone who is in authority over you and who is able to hold you to your promise, so that there can be consequences if you break your oath. It's like a formal contract or a statutory declaration. That's a kind of oath. Or a witness testifying in court. That's a kind of oath. You know, in movies where the police are interviewing a witness and then they say to the witness, "Are you willing to testify to what you've said in court?" That becomes a bigger deal, doesn't it? Because we know that there's an expectation that that kind of oath, that kind of testimony in court, that's binding. And for someone to lie in that situation, it's a huge deal. It's punishable. And verse 17 is telling us that God wanted to leave us with absolute certainty that he will keep his promise. So he confirmed it with an oath. Now, just to be clear, this is not saying that God has two levels of promises, you know, a promise and a super promise, an oath, or that God could have broken his promise until he had made the oath. Nor is it saying that we should be like that either. Jesus tells us that we shouldn't need to have to swear an oath in order for our promise to be trustworthy. He says, just let your yes be yes and your no be no, and that should be the end of it. But that's not what this is talking about here. This is talking about God just wanting to give us every confidence that we need, that he will not change his mind. And so the oath was for our benefit, not God's. It's like God is bending down to our level out of kindness to us. He's accommodating us. He wanted to make it absolutely clear, it says, that his promise to us is certain. And so verse 18 tells us that it's a double certainty. There are now two unchangeable things that make it impossible for God to go back on what he has said. That is, his promise and his oath. Those are the two things. And both of them are unbreakable because it is impossible for God to lie. That kind of double impossibility reminds me of when I was a kid and we used to try and outdo each other. And we'd say, well, infinity plus infinity. We know that's not a thing, right? Infinity plus infinity isn't any bigger, but it feels bigger. It feels more significant. And I think that's kind of like what's going on here. God's promise is certain anyway, but the double promise plus oath is meant to make it feel like an extra super double certainty, because now we have certainty on two counts, and on both of them, it is impossible for God to lie. I wonder if you've thought about that before, that there are some things that are impossible for God. There are some things that God cannot do. You know, I thought God could do anything. Isn't that the whole idea of being God, that there's nothing that he can't do? Well, no. God cannot lie. There are some things that God cannot do because they are against his nature. And this is actually a great assurance for us. The one thing that constrains God, the one thing that limits God, even you could say, is his own character. God will not act in a way that is against his own character. For the rest of us, there will be times when we do act in a way that is out of character, you could say. You know, when the gentle person snaps in anger, when the normally kind person does something mean, when the normally honest person tells a lie. It kind of throws us, doesn't it, when someone acts in a way that is out of character, in a way that is not how they normally act. But God never will. He is entirely consistent with his character, and that means that he will never lie. It is impossible for God to lie, and we can bank on that. We can stake our life on that, and we should. And if we do, it gives us absolute certainty and security. It gives us an anchor for our soul. Those are great words, aren't they, in verse 19 there? See those words in verse 19? We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Notice that he's not just talking about Abraham here anymore. The promise that God made to Abraham and that he confirmed with an oath is a promise that benefits us. Verse 17 says, we are the heirs of that promise. And verse 18 says that the hope that God promised gives is a hope that is set before us. The certainty of God's unbreakable promise is set before us, for us to trust, for us to put our hope in. Because the end point of the promise that God had made to Abraham, the end point of that promise is Jesus. The hope that we have is because of Jesus. Jesus has gone before us, it says in verses 19 and 20. He has entered the inner sanctuary of God's presence with the sacrifice of his own blood. He has gone as our great high priest to prepare the way for us, and so that with Jesus we can be welcome into the very presence of God. With Jesus, we can approach the throne of God's grace with confidence. Because of Jesus, we don't have to stand at a distance from God. You know, there's no 1.5 meter rule when it comes to God. There's no self-isolation or quarantining when it comes to God. That is, we don't need to fear or to worry that we are unwelcome in God's presence, or worse, that we will be judged in God's presence if we are with Jesus. Instead, what we have is unrestricted access to the creator of the universe, to the giver of life. That is true now for everyone who trusts Jesus, for everyone who has fled to take hold of the hope that we have in Jesus. That is true now, and it is worth anchoring our confidence in that. But hope is actually about something for the future, isn't it? You don't hope in something that you already have. And so ultimately, this is talking about the future fulfillment of God's promise in Jesus, in the resurrection of the dead. In our resurrection that has been secured by Jesus' past resurrection that we're going to celebrate together in just 2 weeks at Easter. God has promised that for all who trust Jesus, our soul is secure because he will raise us to new life, to a perfect and eternal life, a life that is free from all the uncertainties that we are particularly experiencing right now. That's the hope that we have fled to take hold of in Jesus. That's the hope that God has promised, and that promise is unbreakable. That future is secure because it is impossible for God to lie. And so we have that hope as an anchor for our souls. That anchor for our souls reminds me of when I used to go fishing in our little tinny, aluminium fishing boat. And sometimes we'd go out into the ocean and fish quite close to where the waves were smashing onto the rocks. And so that just, 10 metres away from where we were fishing, the waves were breaking right there. And if our boat was there instead of here, we would be smashed too, and that could be quite unsettling. But we were safe because we had an anchor. We were firmly anchored in place. And so as much as the boat would go up and down with the swell, and as close as the waves were breaking on those rocks just over there, we knew that we were safe because our anchor was firm and secure. That's what we have in Jesus. And this, I think, is where we can come back to the uncertainty that we kind of are experiencing in this present moment. For us, right now, the future is anything but certain. And it can be unsettling to see the waves of life crashing so close by. And as I said, what it's doing for us right now is it's kind of stripping away some of those things that we might have thought we could have confidence in, that we thought were the anchor points of our life. Now, we don't know what life will be like next week, let alone next month or next year. You might get sick, or you might not. You might recover fairly easily, or you might not. You might keep your job, or you might not. You might have easy access to the things that you need for life, or you might not. You might be able to do those things that you were hoping and planning to do, or you might not. You might be able to see friends and family, loved ones, or you might not. There is so much that is uncertain right now about the future. And that uncertainty can be unsettling, can't it? It can be stress-inducing. But what it's also doing is it's helping us to realise what is secure and what is not. In normal times, I think we assume, or at least we try to convince ourselves, that the things that we have put our hope in, the things that we have confidence in, are rock solid, that they are secure. But if anything, these present times are showing us that they are not. I know that some of us are being forced to confront our own mortality for the first time. Some of us are facing the prospect of being unemployed for the first time. And all of us are facing the uncertainty of knowing that we just don't know what life will be like even next week. And as I said, that is helping us to realise what is and isn't secure. So let's at least acknowledge that now. And let's be absolutely clear. You do not have an anchor that will secure the certainty of your health or of your family's health. You do not have an anchor that will secure the certainty of your job. You do not have an anchor for your financial security. You do not have an anchor for your social plans or for your education. But you do have an anchor for your soul. If your trust is in the Lord Jesus and in the unbreakable promise of God that he has made through Jesus, that anchor is firm and secure. And because of that, we can be greatly encouraged. So let me ask you, have you taken hold of this hope? Have you taken hold of that anchor? Maybe you know that you haven't. Maybe you know that you don't have this hope. Surely now is the time to take stock of that. These present times are showing us that all our other hopes can and will give way. But this hope in the promise of God is secure. So let me appeal to you. Take hold of this hope that we have in Jesus by putting your trust in him, by fleeing to Jesus. Let Jesus be the one who enters the presence of God ahead of you and on your behalf, who secures your soul for eternity. Now is the time to do that. Take hold of that hope and keep hold of it. And for those of us who have taken hold of this hope, I just want to return again for a moment to think some more about what it means for us, what this certainty means for us in the uncertainties of this present moment. What it does for us is it gives us confidence and security. The waves of life may be crashing fairly close by, but if your trust is in the unbreakable promise of God, then the anchor for your soul is firm and secure. And that confidence and security frees us to love others instead of just trying to protect ourselves, particularly in this moment, and to protect our own little worlds. Because, as I said, uncertainty tends to narrow our vision, doesn't it? Narrow our concerns, to guard our own lives and to try and control what we can. But the confidence that we have in Jesus frees us to look around and to care for the people around us. It frees us to love our neighbours. Love your neighbour, that's such a common idea, isn't it? And it sounds so simple and so obvious and so familiar that I suspect that most people forget or just don't know that those words come to us from the lips of Jesus. Jesus gave us the ultimate example of love, and he calls his followers to follow in his footsteps. And in normal times, I think most Australians like to think of ourselves as being good neighbours. But it's now when the anchor points of our life, the things that we normally have as our security and stability, when those things give way, now is the time when we start to see how self-focused we actually are. Whether it's fighting over empty shelves in the supermarket or disregarding the social distancing guidelines because I'm young and healthy and I don't want it to impact on me and what I plan to do just for the sake of some other people. Love frees us to be different. And this present crisis gives us the opportunity to demonstrate the love that our confidence in Jesus gives us, that our anchor for the soul gives us. And so instead of trying to control my surroundings by hoarding what I can, or instead of withdrawing in fear, love frees me to look to my neighbours and to ask, how can I care for you? My life, my soul is secure, so how can I care for you? So can I encourage you, just as an example, to take that very simple step that we've been talking about to care for your literal neighbours, That is, just to put a note in the letterbox of the people around you to offer to help them with the things that they might need. You know, to offer to get them some food or some toilet paper or whatever they might need. You know, it's such a small thing, but it could make a big difference to the people around you. Jesus loved us to the point of death, and in doing so, he secured our souls for eternal life for those who trust him. And that security, that anchor for our souls, frees us to love like Jesus loved. Let's pray that we will. Heavenly Father, we are living in uncertain times, but we ask that you will help us to recognize that we who have fled to take hold of the hope that we have in Jesus have a certainty that is based on the security of your promise to us in Jesus. Father, may we rest with confidence on that certainty, and may we live with that confidence, particularly in this moment, in the ways that we love and care for the people around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Craig said, we are going to have questions.